now from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is the whole gang here. Brandon Zinner will send us his picks in. But, boys, we've got some work to do. Jad, what's the damage on this? What are we looking at here?
So let me pull up those stats really quick, and I'll give me one second on that.
Okay, we got Brandon back in, and I put a Vikings game in just for Brandon this week. So we've got that out there for you. We're going to make three college picks. We're going to make three NFL picks. There's our five box, by the way. Thanks, everybody, for jumping on with us, watching this experiment. And, well, it's been a disaster for most of us. Let's just put it that way. These picks have been brutal, not just for us. I mean, this has been a really, really tough year for most. So we'll have a couple of picks. We'll pick Kansas. We'll pick Kansas State. We'll pick the Chiefs, and then we'll mix it in to get to six total picks. To get ourselves into this thing, and we've got some good ones, and let's get it started here. If you want to hit the music, Jad, with K-State, they play the national noon, big noon, whatever you want to call it, but it's an 11 a.m. local kick. We're going to put it at a 5-point favorite. I've seen it bounce around. But that's the number we're going to use. We're going to use 5 points here. K-State, Oklahoma State, K-State at home. Paul, I'm sure you're in the lead, so I'm going to let you go first here. What do you think of this one?
Well, you know something? This is an interesting game. I went for my expectations. I think a lot of us
are. All right, we're going to get Paul's microphone figured out here. We're going to skip.
Okay, give it a try now, Paul.
Okay, test one, two, and we're ready to go.
We're good. All right, Paul.
Sorry about that, fellas.
Here's what I think about KSU and Oklahoma State. One of the things that I look at is has K-State, really met our expectations? For me, I would say no. Tommy, for you, maybe have they, or maybe not. Or
well, quite, I think last week was an anomaly, but yeah, okay. Overall, yeah, they have.
Okay, all right. Well, here's the thing. Last week I picked KSU and I picked Brigham Young, and I did it with a method that I think worked really well. So I'm going to go to the question, how many Heisman winners has Oklahoma State had? That would be one. How many Heisman winners does K-State have? And that would be zero. Tommy, don't look so grim.
Hey, look.
The last time that put me on an island, guess what, buddy? I'd got you on that one, didn't I? So I'm going to go with Oklahoma State.
You can't chicken your way into an island on this one. You're picking first. TJ, what do you think? TJ's muted. Brandon, you're muted as well. There we go. Now we're good.
We're in the circle, and everybody's going to be muted to start their picks.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm going to go with K-State. I know we talked yesterday, Jacob, about what they did against BYU. That really, the first couple of drives, they were a significantly better football team, and they really controlled the entire tempo of the game. And then they had a fumble, and it was a stupid score, and then it felt like it was kind of panic mode. And then everything hit the fan at once, and it was terrible from then on. So I'm just going to revert back and just pay attention to the first two drives and ignore the rest of the football game that we saw last week, and I'll pick K-State to cover this one.
Brandon, I think it was one of the weirder games I've ever seen. I'm totally willing to wash Oklahoma. I mean BYU away, but is K-State 5 points better than Oklahoma State?
That I don't think so. I think we've kind of seen the struggles of this K-State offense, and I don't know how much optimism there is kind of going forward, especially just in a tough spot against a really good Oklahoma State team. If it was four, I'd probably lean towards K-State, but it's five. I'm going to take Oklahoma State. I think we see a 21-17 kind of game, and that gives me a cover. So, yeah, give me the pokes.
Tommy, where are you at with this one?
Well, first off, I'm really jealous of the life that Brandon Zinner is leading, getting to play golf basically every Friday when he comes on this program. That's impressive. I'm jealous of that. This particular game, I mentioned it yesterday, that I don't have major concerns about Kansas State, because last week I think was an anomaly. That was the word I used a couple of minutes ago. It was an anomaly. There were just weird things that happened in general. The last minute or so of the first half where things really snowballed for the Wildcats. I know the conversation, Jacob, between you and I yesterday was, should we have concerns about Avery Johnson? I'm not willing yet to have concerns. If this goes into a second week, then I can have a conversation. But I'm not there yet because of that. I'm going to take Kansas State. I'm going to lay the points.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. Do you take more from BYU or do you take more from Arizona? I that's the problem for me with K-State. We've seen both of these now, and where do they land in it? I'm concerned about the youth of K-State and all the experience over there on Oklahoma State's side. I can't believe this number's as big as it is. The money's been flooding to Oklahoma State. I suppose I'll just take K-State at home. You know, it's a score. They can get there. I am surprised by the number, though. I thought this was going to be a field goal kind of a game. But I'm going to reluctantly do it and think there's more about K-State in the Arizona game than there is in the BYU game. All right, TCU at KU. KU is a two-point home favorite. Tommy, we'll let you start this one. Fool me once, you know, shame on me. Fool me nine times, I guess. Like, I don't know, you know, how the saying goes. What are you doing with this one?
Yeah, I mean, we're getting into potentially fool me four times in a row scenario here for the Jayhawks. The number is low enough that I feel comfortable laying the points with the Jayhawks. Now, I didn't take Kansas last week. I took West Virginia at home, and that was one of the two games I won last week. But I do think that the uproar has gotten to a fever pitch a little bit with the Jayhawks, and the fact that in all three of these games that they've lost back to back to back, they had the win expectancy percentage in the fourth quarter in all three of them was over 80% at one point in all three games. They were better. They should have won all three of them, and the fact that they went 0-3 is just ridiculous. So knowing that, I do think you've got to snap out of that at some point. I think this will be the week to do it. TCU is not as great as we've seen in years past. I'll take the Jayhawks and I'll lay the points.
I'm going to fall on this sword for you, KU fans, and get you a slump buster because I've picked KU every week. I'm just going to pick TCU to hopefully snap them out of this and get the old reverse jinx going. So I'm going to take TCU for no other reason than to help out KU fans and get them back on the right track. Brandon, what do you think of this game?
No analysis at all. Just KU. You got to win. You got to win one. So
yep. They are. Especially at home. TJ?
I'm going with KU. I think that if they just don't have the giant collapse they have in the fourth quarter last game, this spread is probably looking at like 9 points or something because TCU just got embarrassed by SMU. And this is just kind of the lines because they know everybody's watching these KU games and freaking out and trying to put some money towards TCU. So I think that's why it's such a tight game. I'm going to just go on the law of averages that something has to give for KU, and this could be the one they can get it done.
Paul, what do you think about this one?
Boys. Let me ask you a question. What the heck makes you think something has changed this week? Why is it this week somebody has waved a magic wand and now KU's good? TCU's not bad. They're certainly not going to win the conference, but they've got a good quarterback. They've got some veteran receivers. What in the world are you guys thinking? What makes you think KU's going to turn the corner this week? Is there something, or are you just saying, well, this has got to be the week?
They're a better team than what they've shown on paper. Are you sure? Yeah. The metrics tell you that. It's just a matter they haven't been able to close it out. And I think that this would be a week that if they're going to do that, it would be this week.
All right. Well, I got an answer from Tommy. And Tommy, by the way, good answer. That wasn't bad. That was not bad at all. I'm taking TCU. This might be, for me, the easiest pick of the week. Until I see KU come and play like we think they're capable of playing, like the team that could be competing for a Big 12 championship like we think they could be, until I see that, boys, I can't hop on your bandwagon. I'm joining Jacob. By the way, Jacob, I know yours was a pity pick because you feel sorry for
it. That's a good way to put it.
That's a good way of doing it. But I'm going with it because I know no reason to think that KU is going to, you know, switch on and play better. I'm going to go ahead and take TCU. This is the easiest pick of the week, boys.
My actual money, I like the under. Again, it's at 60. And I love PJ Glasser's idea of just taking KU on the money line in the first half. I think that's pretty savvy there. All right, let's get our last college football game. Georgia, Bama. Bama's a one-point dog at home. That's enough reason for me to take Bama. Give me the point. It's a home game. You know, I think this is a tricky one. I won't actually put any money on this game. I probably will because there'll be bonuses for it. There'll be bonuses for it, so I'll do it. But I'm going to take Bama. I like their quarterback. I like both quarterbacks. But I think Bama's quarterback's good enough at home to get enough done in this game to get the win. And I'll take the point just because I can get it. Tommy?
This is an opportunity for Kirby Smart. And he's done a lot at Georgia. Obviously, he's won national titles at Georgia. But this is an opportunity for him to plant his flag as the new Nick Saban in the SEC, to be the guy that is going to have the longevity and the overall long-term success at Georgia, like we saw from Saban for however many years, two decades at Alabama. And this is that opportunity for him to stake that claim. I'm going to take Georgia on the road in Alabama. Give me the Bulldogs. I think that they're just, from top to bottom, probably a better team overall. It's going to be a fun game. I love Carson Beck in this matchup. I'm going to take Georgia to win.
Brandon, where do you stand with college football's game of the year so far?
Well, I'm with everybody's favorite Tide fan, Braxton Jones, right now. And to save any harm, I'm going to go ahead and take Alabama at home with the points.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, get that. Tell Braxton we said what's up. TJ, what do you think?
I'm going to go with the Tide as well. I think that they're awesome. I know a couple weeks ago my favorite play was Wisconsin to cover plus 21 against Alabama. I think they lost by 100. So learned a lot about Alabama that day, and they are a wagon of a team, and it's in Tuscaloosa. There's no shot they're going to lose in Tuscaloosa.
They kind of had their scare there. Was it against South Florida or whatever when they came back in the fourth quarter and stomped them after they were down? Paul, what do you think of these two teams that – you know, whether you rank them one and two, they certainly appear to be two of the top five.
Boy, I don't know, Jacob. I do not know either team could win this game. I'll tell you, now, Bama, I believe, has an advantage because it's at home. But, man, guys, these are two really good football teams. I think we could safely say I wouldn't put it past saying that one of these two teams is going to win a national championship, and I think either one of them could. But with that being said, when I see the entire brain trust of KWCH, Jacob, Brandon, TJ, when I see all three of you guys on the line for Bama, you know what it makes me do? Take Georgia. I'm taking Georgia, boys. I'm going with Tommy.
You're not going to give me an island?
Oh, gosh.
Come on, Paul. No,
by the way, it's fine. By the way, Texas is better than both of these teams.
Tennessee might be. I don't know about Texas.
I'll plant that flag right now.
I don't know how you know that about Texas, but anyway, I'm going to say. I'm changing. Hold on. I haven't laid my cards down yet. I'm still raising. Okay, Tommy, I have a lot of respect for you.
Well, I mean,
you're a good friend of mine.
I'm going to twist your arm into doing something you don't want to do.
No, I'll tell you what, Tommy. This is for you. Island for Georgia. Okay. I'm taking Bama.
There you go. Always an adventure here. Okay, so let's go to the NFL here, and we've got Minnesota and we've got Green Bay. I know Brandon's been itching to get the Vikings in on his picks here. So Brandon, you get to start us off. You're going to get 2.5 points with your Vikes. Now Jordan Love appears like he will play in this game. That's why that line's where it is. This one of the best games, if not the best game of the NFL weekend. You trusting your heart here?
I'm trusting my heart and I'm trusting my brain, and both of that says the Vikings this week. They've shown everything with, especially Jordan Love's knee and his Flores defense, how they've gotten after the passers in the NFL so far. I think they're going to be able to get after Jordan Love, try to make him run. We'll see how comfortable he is. Give me the Vikings and every one of the points this week.
TJ, which side of this you taking?
I've watched enough football with Brandon to know that we don't bet against Sam Darnold. The dude is the best quarterback in the NFL so far this season. That's probably not true, but I've hung out with Brandon enough to believe that. So I'm going to go with the Vikings in this one, too.
Paul, Vikings, Packers, this is a tough one.
Oh, I don't know if it's that tough or not. You know, there's been all kinds of things going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, the one thing about when things go on with pro football teams, that's what we call a distraction. I think there's been a lot of distractions with injuries and that kind of thing. And you guys are right. I'll tell you what. I wouldn't be surprised. I shouldn't say this. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Minnesota Vikings in the finals for their conference championship. I'm not saying they're going to win a Super Bowl or anything, but they're a good football team. Guys, I hate to do this, but I'm going to join my two partners at KWCH, and I'm taking the Vikings. I think this is an easy pick.
Tommy, you agree?
Look, it's been incredible what Sam Darnold has been able to do with the Vikings through a couple of weeks. And obviously, there's a tremendous, I love that, by the way, with Brandon in the background. There's a tremendous amount of talent that we all know that that Darnold has around him with Minnesota. I've been a Packers believer, though, from the start of this season. And I know that, obviously, Jordan Love got injured. But Malik Willis, even if Love doesn't go, Malik Willis kind of had his little bit of a revenge game, a week ago. So I don't know. This is a toss-up for me. It's tough. Just knowing that the three guys before me have taken Minnesota, I have to take Green Bay. I'll take Green Bay. That's my plan. It might be the wrong choice, but I'm going to stick to it.
Yeah, the problem for me with the Packers is, they've won their last two. They haven't played anybody. And so I still don't know how much of a belief. I mean, I'm a believer in Jordan Love and the offense. I don't know if I'm a believer in their defense. I just don't know. We know what we've got in Minnesota. We know Justin Jefferson's there. We know Sam Darnold's cooking. We know it's an Aaron Jones revenge game, by the way. And I was just in Minnesota in Viking country. Just across the border, switching back and forth, drinking Spotted Cow beer, watching my son at a Vikings bar get so hype. All that boy wants to do is scream, and that's all he did, taking high fives from all the Midwestern charm, Viking fans. So I got to take the Vikings in this one. I can't turn my back on that. It was too good a time there at the Vikings bar. So I'll roll with them for a week. Sam Darnold will come crashing down to earth, I think, at some point. Doesn't have to be this week, though. I'll take the Vikings. Is that all of us? Did we all get that one?
That's back-to-back Philadelphia. I love it.
Let's go Philadelphia, Tampa, +1.5. I'll start us here. Guys, I love the Bucs getting 1.5 at home. I'm not an Eagle non-believer like Tommy is. I actually think the Eagles are good. But they probably don't have AJ Brown or Devontae Smith in this game. And their secondary historically has been a problem, and we know the Bucs can chuck it around. I love getting some points at home for the Buccaneers. It's one of my favorite bets of the week. I'll take Tampa and I'll take the 1.5. Brandon?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it's a good bounce back spot for Tampa. I like what Philly has been able to do over the last couple of weeks. I think they're really starting to settle in. Just Tampa at home with the points. We see the underdogs covering a lot. Give me the Bucks.
TJ, is Saquon Barkley enough to cover that number? Because that may be what it is in Philly this week.
I don't think it is, for basically the same reason that you said. If Devonta Smith's not going to play, and it seems like he's probably not going to, and AJ Brown's not going to be out there, all of their wideout weapons aren't going to be there, and all going to rely on Saquon Barkley. I don't think that's enough to beat a team at home when they're getting points. I'm going to take the Bucks.
Paul?
Well, you got – I'm looking at Tommy right now to see what I think he will do. And I'm looking at him. He's giving me that I don't know what I'm going to do. You know something? I'm going to go ahead and kick Philly because I predict Island, and this isn't that bad an Island. It's not like Philadelphia doesn't pay their players. There'll be some guys that can play. I'm gonna go ahead and take the Philadelphia Eagles. Tommy, that's for you. I'm taking the Eagles.
Yeah, it's not the UNLV coaching staff. They'll get their players paid. That's right, Paul. All right, Tommy.
I got that. I see what you mean.
No Island here, so now you can make a real pick. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, it's interesting because I have yet to hear, and maybe the NFL, and they don't know at this point, will the hurricane that's going through Florida impact this game at all? Because it's in Tampa Bay.
I don't think so.
I think
it's not going to impact the Braves games tonight, I think the weather will be clear this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that I'm sort of keeping my eye on that might be a little bit of an unknown. I don't think there's been any kind of definitive answer on that one way or the other. Here's my thought with I'm not a Philadelphia believer, as we all know, and it's not that I don't think that they're a good team. I think that they've got a tremendous amount of talent. I just can't stand Nick Sirianni. I think he's a terrible coach, and I think that he has had a terrible time rallying this team together, going all the way back to last season into this year. They've underperformed. Thank goodness for Saquon Barkley. It's a good thing he joined that team, because they would be in really bad shape
if Saquon Barkley wasn't on
that roster.
I mean, I hate the Eagles more than anybody in this room. I can promise you that as a Cowboys fan. But I'll also tell you that they've got wins over the Packers and over the Saints this year. So
did you watch the Saints game last week?
I watched them win.
They won the game, but they didn't look good at all. Neither did the Saints, for that matter. But it was an ugly game.
Saints without A.J. Brown. I'm just saying. I hate the Eagles. Don't get me wrong. I have no love lost, but they got two wins against two good teams.
I think you're missing the point where I say, yeah, they are a talented team. Their coach brings them down a rung in my book. I don't think they would, I think, have more wins if there was somebody else that was coaching that team. That being said, though, I do think that in this particular matchup, I'm going to take the Eagles in this matchup over the Bucs. I like Baker Mayfield. I like what the Bucs have done. But really, I'm making a pick solely based on Saquon Barkley. He stepped up big in the last couple of weeks. I think he'll do the same thing. I'll take the Eagles.
It'll be interesting. Tampa's going to challenge those young corners. I'm pretty intrigued by that game. All right, Kansas City and the Chargers. We'll wrap with the Chiefs game here. TJ, you start us on this one, because this one's tricky to me.
Sticking with the anecdotal here, at my desk at work, as you know, Jacob, I sit next to Brandon, who's a Vikings fan, and next to Rachel Howland, who's a Chargers fan, and our insider Chargers fan has let me know that the entire team is hurt, and he's not lying. Everybody is going to be hurt for this game, it feels like. What's the line that we're going with on this?
Seven. We're going with seven.
By a touchdown. I know the Chiefs are chronic non-coverers, but I just can't see a world, unless they just really mess around in this one and let the Chargers hang in, that they don't win by a touchdown. I'm going to go with the heart again and bet with the Chiefs to cover a touchdown.
Brandon is golfing, so Paul, you go next. What do you think on this Chiefs game?
Well, you're right. This game is going to be probably in the 14 to 17 point range. I know that sounds nuts. I know that sounds crazy. This is the NFL. But I sure like the Kansas City Chiefs in this game. You do have a Chargers team that's a little bit under the weather. I'm going to go ahead and take the Chiefs. I think this is a fairly easy pick, and I'm predicting a complete wipeout for Kansas City between the five of us pickers.
All right, so we've got Chiefs and we've got Chiefs. Tommy, you going to keep that trend going?
I hate this game. I hate this spread. The fact that it's at 7, 6.5, I'd still probably hate it, but I wouldn't hate it as much than I do right now at 7. The Chiefs, I think, you know, we all know they've had a pretty difficult time covering the number through the first couple of weeks of the season. Everything in me is screaming that because of the Chargers being super banged up and Derwin James being suspended and all of that, that this is an opportunity for Kansas City to flex a bit and to be able to cover that number. Man, it's just hard for me to really commit to that. So knowing that, I think the Chiefs win. I'm going to take the Chargers, though. Whoa. I'll take the 7 points. I think the Chiefs win by 3 or 4, and they ultimately get out of there, but that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I'm actually with you. I think it's a Chiefs win within the number. Yeah. 7 is a lot of
on
the
lot.
Road. Like 7 on the road is kind of ridiculous.
Against Harbaugh, that's like a lot.
It looks like Herbert will play. From all I know, the running backs are still healthy, and J.K. Dobbins is there. I think both of these teams want to have the ball on the ground as much as they can. It feels like a really ugly game to me, and in an ugly game with Harbaugh there on the road and a touchdown, I'm not going to lay those points. I do think the Chiefs win within the number, though, but I'm going to take the 7 points. Brandon?
I think the Chiefs just finally have we've said it with every single one of the teams every single week, so it's got to happen at one point. I think the Chiefs come in, they have a blowout. Patrick Mahomes has never lost on the road against the Chargers. Now, I know we're not picking them to win. We're picking them to cover the spread, but just going out on a limb here. I don't have any faith in it, but why not?
Yeah, that line is – Vegas knows what it's doing. That's a pretty brutal line, and it's a really brutal line if Herbert plays. And the Chiefs-Chargers games have been a little wacky. All right, so, Tommy, did you find those receipts there? Where do things stand?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, Paul has extended his lead again, which is just ridiculous. It's one of the most ridiculous things. He's got a record of 16-7. He's 9 games over .500. And the rest of us are all under .500.
And you make fun of my Heisman just because of the Heisman deal.
It's ridiculous.
I saw you nod over there and shake your head. I saw that.
I've called you Rain Man before, Paul. I'm going to call you Rain Man again. That's what this is. TJ, you and I are both one game under .500 at 11-12. Jacob, you're at 9-14, five games under 500. Ooh. Brandon is 7-16, coming in last right there. So everybody's got some ground to make up on, Paul. Hopefully this week will be the week that we do that.
I don't even know. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say.
That means that I should actually be betting my picks because my bank account does not signify that I'm almost 500.
Yeah.
There you go.
I was so close to making so much money last night. Like, I'm talking a couple of yards one way. A couple of yards and an Aubrey make, and last night would have been very fruitful. And that is why we love this game and why we do it, because it keeps us on our toes. All right, TJ's going to stick around. We're going to come back here on Sports Daily. We're going to talk a little high school football as we get you ready for a big Catch at Kansas Friday here again. Want to say thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here at KFH on the way out. When we return, Catch at Kansas Friday, TJ has a preview next. Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily on a Friday, a Catch at Kansas Friday. Get you all ready on the Catch at Kansas app and at catchatkansas.com as we take a look. What are we in here? Week four of the high school football season. TJ, Brandon, Rachel, and gang have had you covered all season long. TJ, as we look ahead to this week four, what's the game of the week there at Catch at Kansas, and what are we looking most forward to?
Game of the week is a big one. We got Wichita Collegiate traveling out to Andale tonight. Big 3A rivalry out there in Andale country. So really excited for that one.
That's the one I was going to ask. That's been a fun game, but it's been one that Andale has dominated. So is this Collegiate more than a fun game? Do they have a real chance this year?
Yeah, so just talking about this one, I've been digging up some research, getting everything ready for our coverage tonight. I'm not sure. I didn't know this until yesterday, honestly. I saw a stat and dug it up and talked to Dylan Schmidt about it, that Andale lost the streak of the longest winning streak in the country, but they still have a win streak at home dating back to 2012, even before Dylan Schmidt was the coach there. They have not lost a home game in 12 years. The last team to beat them in Andale was Collegiate back in 2012. So a little bit of history there, but I think it's going to be a really fun one. You know, Andale got tested by Wellington in week two. I think there was a combined like 110 points or something ridiculous like that. It was like 60-50 touchdown game there. Collegiate narrowly beat Wellington as well. So that's kind of your litmus test of where this one stands. I think Collegiate's a really good team. Last year, they gave Andale a little bit of a run. It was like a 2-3 score game still. But Collegiate didn't have all of their stars out there. This time, everybody's healthy. They got a really good running back in Jaden Parker, who's probably going to be playing Division I football somewhere. He's back this year. Collegiate team is going to be really good, but Andale at home is a different beast, as we know. But I think it'll be a great one tonight.
Looking at the City League, Capen playing Northwest tonight, and you know that's just a heavyweight bout right there. And especially knowing the sights that Capen has set for their future, but then also knowing how big of a juggernaut Northwest has always been. That's a game I know that folks around the city are really anxiously awaiting. Do you get any sense one way or the other about, you know, sort of where things are leaning?
Yeah, Capen was a team that we really didn't know who they were going to be this year. They graduated so many guys that I always bring up Amari Elias was their entire offense, that running back. They graduate him, and we didn't know how good they were really going to be. Last week, they come out and beat East in a game that lasted 2 days because of the weather. So kind of showed who they were going to be, and a team that can compete towards the top of the City League like they do every single year. So getting that one, I know Northwest got the job done against East. So this could very well be the City League championship that we get in week four, depending how the rest of the season plays out. So Capen's proved that they can hang with anybody, but Northwest, they've got an insane schedule every single week. They just played Junction City last week and pulled off like a third, fourth quarter comeback. So they're a great team. I think Northwest has got more talent than Capen, but we know what Capen does well, and they're going to do it well.
Well, it's probably more than might be the City League championship. It is going to be the City League championship. Both teams are good, and if I could just add to it, I'm the one guy sitting on this little council right here that's played both of them, and we lost to both of them. We lost to one 13-0. We lost the other by in triple overtime. So that should be us involved in this, but it's not. That's just the way it goes. I think that this particular game is going to be basically who controls the line of scrimmage. And both of them are capable of controlling the line of scrimmage. Now, if it's TJ, if I was to say to you, if both teams are fairly equal on the line of scrimmage, just based upon athleticism alone at the skill positions, don't you maybe have to kind of give the advantage maybe to Northwest? Not a big advantage, but a slight advantage to Northwest. And I think if I had to pick, I might give it to them reluctantly. I'm trying to be fair and honest in this. But listen, Capen wins this game, I'm not going to be surprised either.
Yeah, you know, Northwest, I say it every week, it feels like, that they've probably got the most Division I talent on a team. East is right there with them, but Northwest has got so many guys who are going to play Power 5 football on both sides of the ball that some of them are still underclassmen that haven't even blown up yet, but they're going to. So a ton of talent there, but I think that a Weston Sharks coach team, like I said, we know what they're going to do. They're going to control the line of scrimmage. That's what they make their kind of bread and butter on. I think that you could really kind of put any group of 11 guys out there for Weston Sharks, and you'll give anybody a run. So they have the talent to get it done. Northwest probably has more talent, but it's going to come down to coaching, I think, honestly.
It'll be a lot of fun. TJ, you guys have it covered. Tell us about, you know, some of the pregame coverage before games get underway. Where can everybody find the coverage, and what can we look forward to tonight?
Yeah, tonight Brandon's going to be live out there at Andale for the game of the week. We'll have live coverage starting at 4:30, kind of giving some backstory, some history of the matchup. We talked to both teams, so you can hear what both sides are saying about the game of the week, everything like that. He's going to grab all that stuff. We're going to be live on the 12 News app and the Catch It Kansas Facebook like we're doing every week. It's the 12 News kickoff show. We're going to go through every single game that we're going to be at. We're going to talk about what we expect to see. We're going to make our picks that we make there. See how all that goes. So, and then 10:30, Catch a Kansas show. Should be a full one. No giant shelf clouds rolling in with lightning storms to delay anything this week, I hope.
There it is. Get ready for it. It's another, wow. Yeah, this will be a little different experience without the weather here. We'd take the rain, but that was wild last week. I wasn't here, but I was watching remotely. All right, TJ, good luck with the coverage today. Be good. Get back to playing college football video games, and we'll do this again next week.
Cool. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
There goes TJ Cleland. There goes our high school football preview. It is a Catch It Kansas Friday. Go to catchitkansas.com, the free Catch It Kansas app. Get you all covered for everything that you need, not just with high school football, but with all the high school sports. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We've covered everything. We have not talked about Thursday night football. We can get more into some of the other football storylines out there as well. Don't go away. Albrock, Caster, Savage, coming back on a Friday. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily on a Friday. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Get out to Crestview, check out the facilities, great restaurant, great bar, great spot to watch football, great place to play golf with this beautiful golf weather right now. Check out the 36 holes. Tom and I are both out there. We both love it. Head out there, tell them we sent you. Take a tour of the facilities today. Thursday Night Football, fellas, is in the books. Cowboys beat the Giants in an interesting game. Brandon Aubrey, for the first time ever, missed a 50-plus yard field goal to cost a lot of people a lot of money. myself included. I was texting with some Cowboys friends last. I don't think I've ever been more apathetic to a Cowboys season, ever. It's just like, none of it matters. None of it matters. You've got the NFC with significant injuries to all the real contenders, and you sit there and you watch it, and you know that the Cowboys have no shot to win any games of significance this year. So, yippee, they beat the Giants. it's apathy for me when it comes to the Cowboys. It doesn't matter.
Baby steps, my friend, baby steps. That's all I can say. And you know, Dak showed a couple of you know, nice passes. He made some nice completions. You know, it wasn't eye-popping stats, but not bad. Tommy, it wasn't all that bad. You know, baby steps, my friend. You got to take them as they come. That just so happens this was the week for the Giants. It was probably a good time to play the Giants for the Cowboys. So it's just little things. I mean, you got to start somewhere, Jacob. You don't get good all of a sudden.
For most teams, winning a game in the division on the road, you feel good about. But this team isn't better than it was a year ago. Well, it's worse. I think the window closing business is probably a little much, because if this offensive line with a couple of new members, including Cooper Beebe, by the way, ends up taking steps and is good, they're probably closer with a coaching change to being a really good team again. It just, like, there's nothing that we see on this team. They're a worse team than they were the last 2 years, Tommy. They're not going to win anything in the playoffs.
You know, I actually kind of thought that, you know, even despite the losses, you know, that they had suffered most recently and, you know, being, you know, basically not looking good offensively whatsoever in the last game against the Ravens, I actually felt like, despite all of that, that, you know, while they are not a great team, I felt like, okay, like they could be something, you know, where maybe a wild card team, kind of that above average, not dominant, but like they could probably get a little bit done at least. And then I think really the biggest thing for me last night that kind of solidified the change of mind that I had, where I'm like, nope, they're not going to do anything, is when Micah Parsons got carted off. And like, we just don't know what the long-term ramifications of that are. We don't know how long he's going to be out. We don't really know the severity of everything up to this point. But that's a huge blow. That's a massive blow for the Cowboys defense with a guy that, you know, really on a team that is primarily average. You know, CeeDee Lamb is above average, but really a lot of the players are primarily average. Micah Parsons was one of the above average, if not elite, players on that roster. If he's out for any extended period of time, for me, yeah, my mind has changed and they're not going to really do much.
He hasn't been that good this year, but he is one of the few bright spots. I mean, Dak looked really good. That's, you know, that's the everyone wants to throw it on the feet of Dak, and he hasn't been good in the postseason, but like, he was good last night. He made a couple of things that annoyed me, but you know, every quarterback does that. On the other side with the Giants,
well, I believe we lost Jacob in the middle of that. But you know, to his point, you know, basically just knowing that they're what, you know, I think he mentioned a coaching change away. I think we have Jacob back now. We lost you there for a moment.
Yeah.
I get where you're coming from on that.
So I was going to ask this about the Giants. It just made me, as I'm watching Malik Nabers just continue to be awesome. You can redraft the wide receivers right now. You get your pick of Harrison, Nabers, Roma Dunze. Who you taking first?
I'm still going to take Harrison long term, but Nabers is right
Man,
there. It's like
good.
1A and 1B. I just think that Harrison is so tantalizing from everything in college, but Nabers is fantastic. He's
Could
somebody
you imagine,
that, yeah.
Could you imagine Nabers plucked in with a good quarterback as a rookie? Oh my goodness, he's so good. I love it. I love these young receivers. Okay, so that covers Thursday Night Football. It was not that exciting. I mean, you know, whatever. It happened, basically. So this week, just real quick, because we're not going to have time to go through this in the final segment. There's too much on these weekends. So just give you a little sort of a what's on tap in the broadcast world here for KFH. So you have the Royals and the Braves. That'll be tonight at 6 o'clock. That's obviously front and center for everybody. Saturday, here's what will happen. You'll get 9 a.m. pregame coverage of K-State and Oklahoma State. That's on KFH. Butler will be also on KFH. They play at 1 o'clock against a team out of Utah called Snow. And then you'll have the Royals at 6 o'clock on KFH. So it times out nicely. Everything goes to KFH on Saturday. Then on Sunday, Chiefs pregame coverage on the Chiefs radio network begins at 2 o'clock over on KNSS, as it always is. The Royals will stay on KFH and be at 2 o'clock, and then you'll get Westwood One coverage of Sunday Night Football Bills Ravens at 6:30. So it's a busy weekend. But, fellas, as we watch all of this, it'll be interesting Sunday. How many televisions? You know, I'm going to try and be in my basement. I have the Chiefs on one, I have the Royals on the other. I'm square. I'm covered. But there's going to be some difficult decisions made for a lot of folks who don't get that luxury and have to just choose one spot to watch on Sunday. Now, if the Royals have it wrapped up, and we hope that they will by Sunday, then it doesn't really matter. But we're all focused in on the Royals, right? Yeah. Even in a football weekend.
Yep.
Is this a weekend where the Royals capture more of your attention, Tommy?
I think it is. Yeah. I mean, for sure. I think it depends upon when they clinch. I mean, if they clinch tonight, then I may not be, you know, super.
Out.
But at the same time, remember, I'm a Braves fan, too. So they're fighting for a playoff spot at the same time. What's interesting, I was reading about this earlier in the show, and I didn't know that all of this had went down. But apparently the Braves had an opportunity to move their series up in the week to be able to get everything in with the Mets. and they refused to do so, which I didn't know.
They didn't want to give up the
gate. That's right.
I didn't know that until today. I didn't really realize that was going on, but they could have played a doubleheader on Tuesday. They could have gotten the third game in early on Wednesday, and then we wouldn't be in this situation. But unfortunately, that didn't happen.
That's where, you know, the people that are blaming Major League Baseball to that story, Paul, baseball should have stepped in and not given the Braves a choice. Baseball does have that authority in weather-related situations to just do what it needs to be done. Honestly, it doesn't bother me that much. And I would probably say this even if I was a fan. I mean, if I'm a Braves fan, I would much rather have played those games early and been able to know. But from a viewing perspective, potentially having that doubleheader is sort of like a little play-in. Bring that on. Heck yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's not good for the Braves or the Mets, but it's good for, it's not bad for baseball. I think it'll end up being fine.
Right.
And I think in a best case scenario, you've got that series deciding that last playoff spot,
right,
those two games there.
Just when you think baseball, the game of baseball matters. No, money matters. You know the old saying.
Well, it money, is a business.
Money talks, and you know what walks, right? You know what walks, and that's the case here. So, I mean, I guess I don't. Of course, I don't blame them because you know every day of
the Braves were they were expecting two sellouts. Sure. Like they had two sellouts on the books there.
So why would
that's
they?
A lot of dang money?
Yeah, that is, and so I guess we can't blame them too much. But anyway, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, it's right here, We're there. And
Royals are there. They're not there yet.
They're not there. We're right. We're right.
They're
at the
not
cusp,
there yet, but they're right there. I'm with you. Boy, it'd be what a great moment for Brady Singer tonight. I mean, I highly doubt he gets a playoff start. He would be the guy to me that's the odd man out right now. But if he gets this win to punch their ticket, that would be such a big moment for him. And he's had a great year. I'm not taking anything away from him. He just is the pitcher not pitching the best at this particular moment. But he has just a huge opportunity for him tonight.
Think about also, the Royals have pretty much completely rebuilt that pitching rotation in the last season. And I know they went out and acquired Cole Reagans in the middle of last year. But Brady Singer has been around for a few years. He's been the guy that, you know, really they had kind of what they wanted initially to make him the centerpiece of the rotation, you know, long term. That really hasn't happened, but he's been with some really bad teams. He's been with some really bad rotations. And now he's in a situation. He's got the possibility of being able to be the guy to clinch it for the Royals tonight. I mean, that's a great position to be in, and hopefully he can get that done.
They get it done tonight. They don't have to worry about it again. And remember, Royals fans, Twins losses are just as valuable as Royals wins. They only need one. They have six potential outcomes to shrink this number. They get six. They just need one. We'll see. They'll take their first shot at it tonight. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock right here on KFH. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on this Friday edition. Don't go away.